having looked at three sessions of what God said last year and what he did last year, we're going to move into to this year. Coming from the perspective of the sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:32, of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. God is calling us to understand what time and season we're in, to understand what we need to do practically in that, in our role and what God's called us into. And we've been looking at the fact that we have a timetable that God's given us. We are preparing for a harvest of laborers, so we're in a time of judgment of God's household, judgment, justice, grace, and mercy, being cycled so that we can come into the fullness and being prepared for what God has got for us. And today we're going to look at a number of issues around the prophetic. The Joshua generation operates according to the order of Melchizedek, therefore as forerunners of a heavenly royal priesthood, and that whole order is to prepare the next generation to come and inherit their inheritance. So their inheritance and all our inheritance is heavenly positions of government to rule and legislate out of intimacy and out of relationship. Over the last few weeks, God's been speaking to me a lot, and he's called me to increase legislation, so increase what I'm doing governmentally. And God said a few things which I want to share. And then we're going to look at a lot of things that God's been releasing from a prophetic perspective. So God said this: my desire is that you release revelation that will begin the intended generational cycle, but now with a governmental order increased in heavenly authority. In other words, God has done something before, and now he's starting it again. Those who were engaged in heaven 40 years ago failed to disciple others, but kept the knowledge hidden as the precious guarded secrets of the few rather than the norm for all. True experiential knowledge is designed to be increased and expanded by giving it away. The true value of revelation is only appreciated through its use. A new generation begins with a new beginning at a higher level and a fresh starting point. I'm sending out my prophetic voice once again to inspire my people to embrace their destinies, to be prepared and ready for the harvest this time around. I call to my people, rise up, be the champions, those warriors of the new generation. Those truths that were once presented as mysteries must now be made plain and accessible to all of my people who will choose to accept their calling to the kingdom for a time such as this. Esther 4:14. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty or be called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I believe all of us have. So we all need to listen to what God's saying. The mysteries must be unveiled, brought into the light. The Gnostic tendencies of previous generations must not be allowed to be repeated. Everything that is now known was once hidden. I call you to make that which is now hidden and mysterious accessible and open to all who will take the time to inquire and seek for more. Let the cry from deep within the hearts of my people come forth. There must be more than this. When we gathered here on December the 31st, on New Year's Eve, and going into the new year, God sort of spoke quite a lot of things, and I saw some of the things I want to share today. I had this scripture from Ezekiel 48, 29-35. The Lord is there, and the name of the city is the Lord is there. That's what he called the name of the city. The Lord is there. In other words, Jehovah Shammah, God's presence will be with his people. And I believe we're going to be able to take on a new identity this year, corporately and individually. In Revelation 2, 16 and 17, I will give you a new name. I will give you some of the hidden manna. So God is unveiling stuff for us that has been hidden previously and bringing it into the light so that we can receive a fresh understanding of our identity and who we are. So this year, we're going to get an opportunity to reset the clocks. This year, we will have an opportunity for a fresh start with the slate wiped clean, if we're willing to take it. This is the beginning of a new generation who will not be restricted by the limitations of the past or by previous experience. We have to let go of everything that's happened up till now to embrace what God is doing. And God said this, "Son, look, what do you see?" And as I was looking into a vision, I saw, so basically I replied, "Lord, I see four faces in alignment. I see a new governmental order of lion and eagle, governmentally and legislationally, alignment and agreement. I see a great shift in the heavens. I see great movements taking place. I see the ordinances of heaven, the resources being moved in position, ready to strongly support those whose hearts are fully yours. I see man-made boundaries based on fear and greed being shaken and sifted. I see your judgments being made. I see amazing shifts as changes, as true justice is delivered. I see the affairs of the nations will be exposed to the light of the true justice. The thoughts and intentions of men will be unveiled and brought into an increasing intensity of light. I see mountains will be realigned and new alliances and new allegiances are formed, not based on earthly boundaries, but on the maps of heaven being unveiled. I see 2016 will be a year of increasing light as the creative light of the heavens bring my order and my government to nations of those who will take their positions of responsibility in the courts of heaven. And what God is saying is he's going to do things with people who go to heaven and sit in their positions of authority. I see earthly movements of people being just a minor reflection of the great heavenly shifts taking place. I see that jingoistic patriotism of nationalism will be replaced by a new heavenly governmental alliance. This will cause major shifts in frequencies and an increase in vibrational energy will be released. There will be new arcs of agreement, which will be new creative energy for light to increase in intensity. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord will intensify. That's a call to everyone. As sons of light, as those who are supposed to be light in the world, God is calling us to arise and shine. Let there be a cry from my people for justice that will release grace and mercy. My glory will be experienced at new levels and intensities. The courts of heaven have been authorized to issue new legislation for new cycles that have been decreed. Justice as coals from the altar will be delivered by the seraphim. My people legislate true justice. Coals will be heaped on the heads of those who refuse to heed my calls. Now, you might think that would be very negative, but actually what God said that would do would be, this will allow me to release greater grace to intensify the strength of my call into the wilderness. Many will begin to gather in the valley of decision. I will send a light to guide them from the shadows of the old mountains into the light of an open heaven. The light of heavenly revelation will be so bright as to blind many temporarily. Son, you must encourage those who have already crossed to shine into the darkness with greater light. I will give a great grace and favor to those who respond to the old order with compassion and great love. In other words, we must not just be caught up with what we're doing, but have a desire to release blessing to others and see others drawn into what God's revealing. Call, cry out into the wilderness, into the valley of decision, and compel them with all your strength and desire. I must have more of my children who will embrace their inheritance. Feel the deep desire of my heart and respond with passion and zeal for your brothers and sisters whose eyes have been veiled by the religious institutions of the old orders. Make the interpretation clear and plain with no ambiguity and challenge the old order, old mindsets and old interpretations. I challenge those who can hear to answer the call, respond to your destinies and be bold and very courageous. Now, I want to give a brief, well, not too brief, that was a lie, sorry, prophetic review of this whole new cycle of previously misunderstood revelation. And what I believe is that there were many words released on the back of God's call to prepare for the harvest in 1975, and they were released in the 70s and 80s and beyond, and they're being released again with fresh fire and fresh life. And you're hearing the same terminology that was produced then, but it's now being released now with a totally different revelatory interpretation. So we must not make the mistakes and repeat the mistakes and failures of that Moses generation, because they failed to interpret correctly and failed to take God's promises seriously, and therefore God has recycled them and brought them back. So we're in a place where we're going to hear similar words, but we're at a different place of revelation to be able both to participate, understand, experience them, and actually see them fulfilled. Now, these words are going to come from people from lots of different streams, but they all carry a very similar flavor. And there's a guy called Clay Sykes, and he brought this word about Arthur Burt's 1930 word. Now, Arthur Burt was a Welshman who had an international ministry at the time, and he had a prophetic word given to him in the 1930s. Greatest move of God the earth has ever seen, a great move of God that would be without ebb. Arthur was told that he would be left in the earth long enough to see it begin. He died in August 2014, age 102. 1930 was the year of Bob Jones's birth, who picked up this prophetic word later on. Here's the word. There shall come a breath, and the breath shall bring a wind, and the wind shall bring the rain, and the rain shall bring the floods, and the floods and floods and floods. Very interesting, a lot of rain going around at the minute. Shall bring the torrents and the torrents and torrents, and they shall be saved like fallen leaves from the mighty oak swept by a hurricane in a great forest. Arms and legs shall come down from heaven, and there shall be no ebb. And that was the word. And this word at the time was shared amongst a lot of circles. And this is how, also in another word, which is similar, Smith Wigglesworth, who probably was one of the greatest operators in the power of God in terms of raising the dead and seeing miracles and various things, released prophecy in just before he died in 1947. It says, when the word and the spirit come together, there will be the biggest movement of the Holy Spirit that the nation and indeed the world has ever seen. It will mark the beginning of a revival that will eclipse anything that's been witnessed within these shores, even the Wesleyan and the Welsh revivals of former years. The outpouring of God's spirit will flow from the UK to mainland Europe, from there begin a missionary move to the ends of the earth. And then he shared this privately with some others. I see the last day revival that's going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. It will be the greatest revival this world has ever seen. It's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit and ministry gifts flowing on this planet. I see hospitals being emptied. They will bring their sick to the churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. Now, this goes back to Clay Sykes' word. Bob Jones, in interpreting Arthur Burt's word, felt that he would see the beginning of this great move. He did. It is indeed happening. As forerunners, this world, over the world, are now proclaiming God is birthing a new order, new season, new spiritual era for those open to receive it. Bob Jones said, the floods are movements of the Lord. The torrents have to do with the revival of a billion people, which the Lord told Bob about in 1975. This incredible move of God, so evident, is in the earth today. A move without ebb is no longer a mystery. God is drawing his bride back to himself, creating for us a time of oneness, a time of return. Him to us to him. He has sent an angel of his presence to awaken us. And Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride says, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. He is reconciling us back into himself. He calls us to come up higher. As we yield, he comes down and dwells with us. Communion, oneness with God, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to live in and through you. This isn't a visit, as many have experienced. This is a habitation, God coming back to occupy his temple of living bricks, the city of lights coming down, the New Jerusalem, the kingdom, tabernacles. God is bringing us back into the garden, a place of peaceful coexistence, as the flaming sword grants entry to any who hold no idols, whose heart is clean and pure before the Father. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. And we know that those gates are open, and we know access to the tree of life is open, and we can step into the realms of heaven today. We're stepping into an accelerated time, a time of oneness with our Father, a union beyond human comprehension. As we yield to God's Spirit and cry to him for oneness, we will experience his presence as never before. Rejoice, for the day of fullness is at hand. What is the call from heaven that the watchmen now hear? This is the call, hear it. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And that, I think, has two measures. God is saying for us to come and engage with him, and he is wanting us to call for him to come and engage with us. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever's thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free water of life. God is manifesting in his body. We are his representatives on earth, not simply in deed, but in existence. He in us, and we in him. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Decrease, death to self, releases increase, his desire to release himself into his creation. As we die, he lives. The extent of our death is the extent of our life in him. The answer this incredible call and come. Allow God to be God in you, Jesus with skin. Do you hear the sound? There is a knock at your door. Awaken and answer the call to come. And we've gone into this lots of times. God is knocking in us, in our spirit, on that first love gate, and he's saying, let me in. And as we open that door to him, he opens the door into heaven and says, come up here. So we have this twofold aspect of this truth. God in us, more intimacy, and flowing through us, and us coming and coming into that realm where he is. Now, Rick Joyner is another very prophetic voice. He had a voice into the previous generation through a series of heavenly visions and encounters. And he wrote a number of books, The Harvest 1 and 2, Visions of the Harvest, The Final Quest, Epic Battles of the Last Days. And I think a lot of those books are very symbolic of what God is doing, but I don't think people understood or grasped the significance of it and therefore didn't embrace it. But God is bringing it back around so that we can fully enter in. The revelation of heaven is available to interpret those revelations through fresh revelatory eyes. So God wants us to see the same things that have been brought previously, but from a new, fresh perspective. So this is what Rick Joyner has recently said. To stay in an authentic move of God, you will have to resolve to be embarrassed at times. I think he allows this to weed out those who care more about what people think than what he thinks. We must be more concerned that the Lord is free to touch people than about our reputation with the spiritual Pharisees. Again, a new reformation of the church will begin to take definition. Councils of leaders will begin to form with true apostolic authority. A kingdom economy will begin to form. A new generation of prophets and teachers will begin to emerge with unprecedented authority and influence. Now, I'm not sure he understands what this is from a new perspective, but I think we can read it from that. What God is doing with cities of refuge, raising up new ecclesias with benches of authority around the earth, drawing nations together. So many Christians will rise up in Europe and North America with zeal and focus that it will be recognized as another great awakening, while the moves of God in the rest of the world will gain new traction. The army of the dawn, the greatest force for the gospel since the Lord himself walked the earth. Again, he's brought another word. 2016 is no doubt going to be a remarkable year. If I could describe what I see in one word, it would be demarcation. We are entering the valley of decision. Nations and individuals will be making choices on the ultimate issues that determine their ultimate fate. We will have great crises to help illuminate the choices and their consequences. These crises will have a near equal opportunity for good or evil. To navigate this time, we must have a strong moral and biblical compass to know what is good and what is evil. In other words, be sons of Issachar. We must know what we believe, resolve to live it, and stand for it without compromise. The more clearly we see this compass, the better it will be for us. Knowledge, intelligence, wisdom can be helpful, but this moral and spiritual compass by which we know where we're going and how to stay on the course will be far more important. And this compass is a heavenly one. And it's being released from heaven for us to engage. This great time of decision is coming at a time there is a great vacuum of wise, competent leadership. This should compel us to faithfully pray for our leaders as we are commanded. It should also compel us to take leadership whenever and wherever it is thrust upon us, always keeping in mind that the ultimate wisdom is to know that the way is not a formula, but a person we are called to follow. That person is also the truth and the life, and he will always lead us to truth and life. Psalm 16 is a key. Pressing into the realm of heaven over the realm of the earth will keep you free from the warfare and the shaking of the earth while establishing you in your allotted inheritance. So in other words, we need to engage in beyond the veil to experience what we're going to need to be able to occupy the earth at this time. Psalm 16:1. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no God, no good beside you. Psalm 16:8, I set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Now where is Jesus sat in the heavens? At the right hand of the Father. So where is this indicating we need to be sat? At the right hand of Jesus, which is where our thrones are and where we're seated in the heavenly places. Verse 11, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. So if we're on the right hand of Jesus, there are those things in his right hand that he wants to release to us. We here have received as a church two fiery scrolls. The scroll for a billionfold harvest came from Bob Jones just after he passed and became one of the cloud of witnesses. A scroll for the Joshua generation was given to us by Jesus. We've accepted responsibility for that, for our part in that. So it's important that we listen to what God's saying so we can embrace it. So 40 years have passed from issuing the call to prepare for the harvest. We're now in a new day, a new season. The prophetic is coming in full circle, so we'll be giving a fresh opportunity. So those similar words are now there for us to listen to. Jeff Jensen, another prophetic voice in our day, said this: the Lord told Bob Jones some years back that there was an unstoppable army coming forth that would be unstoppable. The first would be leaders, I believe the Joshua generation. The second would be the greatest army that nothing could ever stop, the harvest of harvesters. When they reach the age of maturity, I'm going to begin to release them in power. I will arm them out of the armory in heaven. And interesting, one of the 12 chancellor's houses is the weapons room. Now, those weapons are not, as what I've said before, are not the things we think they are. Mostly they're about love. There is no gift I will deny them. They will literally pull down the warehouse of God, and they will have no fear of the enemy. They will glorify me beyond anything that's ever been. They will represent me in holiness and compassion. The Lord told Bob Jones that this army was the army of God. There is a new people group rising in the earth that is hungry for the glory presence of God. They are not bound, like much of the prior generations, with the rules and regulations that have crippled, stunted, or killed the postmodern church. This army of God is hungry for the kingdom of power and glory. There is a fully matured army of God coming of age in this season, in preparation for what I believe will be one of the greatest revivals ever to sweep the world. They see the same pattern being released. Like Jesus, they are reaching of an age of maturity, being baptized with both word and spirit. We've had many incredible moves of God in our day that have impacted cities, states, regions, even nations. But there is coming a mature family of sons of the earth, a glory generation. They will be so filled with the word and spirit of God, it will usher in the greatest revival and harvest the world will ever see, which will ultimately usher in the second coming of Jesus. Now, I believe that's the end time harvest. The harvest we're waiting for is for the harvesters. So that is to come if we get that harvest and prepare that harvest to be this army of God. A new breed of spiritual superhero. There is a new breed of superhero coming to the forefront. They look like no other generation. They are the dread champions of God. These men and women will in many ways be like King David's mighty men who move with supernatural dimensions that the world has never seen. The church won't know what to do with them. Many of these will be unknown champions in the glory, known to the very presence of God. Jeremiah 20:11 reveals more about them. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed. Do you hear the battle alarm? It is ringing loud and clear. We are entering a very serious season, a season of confrontation. Our lukewarm, business as usual attitude must die. The Spirit of God is awakening and arousing the church, prompting her to arise and take a strong stand for divine truth. The war is raging and we must prepare for battle. Proverbs 28:1, the keepers of the flame are as bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursues them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. It is time to arise and shine. We must not let the light of our hearts grow dim, but we are to be a shining beacon of hope and love, radiating God brightly in a sin-darkened world. See Matthew 5:14-16. If our light is to remain bright, however, we must rally now. Now we must embrace the call to become keepers of the flame and defend the fire of the Holy Spirit. This is who you are now, beloved. You are a people of burning passion, standing strong and filled with true conviction, never cowering, no matter the persecution or attack. Although we are observing an all-out attack to undermine the foundation of the church and our nation, you are called to burn brightly with passion, love, and radical obedience true to the King. This is the call of the dread champions of God. The sons of Issachar were men who had revelation of the times and seasons, who knew what God was saying and were able to communicate this to the house of Israel. I believe we're moving into a super shift in the body of Christ that will unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God in ways the church has never seen before. The heavens are declaring the super shift now, and we're going to witness a coming forth of an anointed people group that move in the upper realms of revelation and power, being prepared to bring in billion soul harvest. That's the Joshua generation. That's the order of Melchizedek. It is clear there is a great harvest of souls coming in. This harvest will be brought in by a supernatural generation that has been thoroughly prepared for the harvest. This many-membered, corporately anointed body of Christ will do the same miracles Jesus did 2,000 years ago. We are his body. He will reap the reward for his suffering. The Lord will roar out of Zion and the harvest will come in. Get ready. This is the season, now is the time, and we're in the generation through which the Lord Jesus Christ will release the furious sound of his glory. Another prophetic voice had a vision, which I want to read. In the vision, I found myself with the Lord in what I thought to be one of the library rooms of heaven. And actually, I've been in this one, and I very saw it, and I was only allowed to read one book. And God said, if I showed you all the books, you'd never come out of the room. Which is where I was at the time. But I know this place exists. I could see a large oak table to my right and hundreds of shelves split into different columns and sections running down the full length of one side of the room. These shelves were each lined with hundreds and even thousands of books and documents, filling each row in perfect symmetry of a beautiful divine order. Then the Lord looked over into my direction and smiled and began to lead me through this incredible room down through a particular section close to the middle. As we walked, I was able to observe the index of each of the sections, which to my surprise were not in a systematic order, but instead only displayed seemingly of out-of-sync selection of dates and years from the Gregorian calendar. Ecclesiastes 3:1. This is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for everything under heaven. He smiled again and continued to walk me down through the section where I could see that all the documents and books were set in perfect chronological order. As we walked, we passed down through the year, starting January 2014, and then moved down toward the year 2016. The Lord then stopped me at one particular shelf between the end of 2015 and the beginning months of 2016 and pulled out a document and handed it to me. This was obviously some sort of manual, but before I could look at it more closely, it changed its form, becoming a beautiful ancient scroll. Then the Lord signaled for me to eat it, and as I did, I could see instantly in detail each of the pages within it. The harvesting machine. I saw intricate designs embedded into the pages like highly technical engineering plans that were so beautifully constructed that I became overwhelmed by their beauty. I could see that this was a blueprint planned for some sort of machine and could feel that the great care and time had gone into its preparation. As I looked, however, I tried hard to see what the plan was, for I found myself seemingly deep within the plans and the machine's beautiful mechanics, that I could not decipher what the plans actually would build. Then after a few moments, I felt the Lord say, take a step back, Darrell. I did, and suddenly it became perfectly clear. This was an incredible harvesting machine, a time to build. The Lord then spoke again and said, I am releasing blueprints to build with me in 2016 and 17 and beyond, Darrell. These are designs to help re-engineer the church to enable it to partner with me in a new mandate I'm releasing at this time. Re-engineer, to redesign, to restructure, Oxford Dictionary definition. Suddenly, I was back standing next to the Lord beside the shelves, and where he immediately handed me a second manual scroll from the same row in the section. This time, however, the process of digesting the scroll happened much faster. I was able to see very clearly that this was I was eating now were a blueprint plans, very similar DNA or design to those of the harvesting machine. These plans, on the other hand, were for the construction of a building. The blueprint design for the redevelopment of local church. I could feel the delight of the Lord as I gazed upon the plans and felt that he'd been waiting for the release of this mandate with great excitement. The nursery. As I continued to observe this new blueprint in its beautiful design, I could not help but get a little confused by the shape of the new construct I was beholding. I was able to see the end result clearly, but as I looked at the plans from above, I could not understand why there were another largely out of proportion building attached to one of the sides of the beautiful design. The Lord smiled and said, that's the nursery, Darrell. It all of a sudden became crystal clear. I saw a vision within the vision of a multitude of new believers sitting and learning the basic principles of the faith, being instructed and taught in the way they should go. See Proverbs 22:6, which is why we have to be ready with fresh start and an equipping track to help people engage in being taught and brought into their destinies. I knew, too, that within these blueprints were strategies for finance, strategies for the raising and equipping of teachers, and even for the building of new buildings. I believe that we're entering into a time of incredible acceleration where blueprints in various forms are being released from heaven to enable us to partner with God for the coming harvest. I believe, too, that thousands of churches, businesses, ministries, and individuals are about to receive incredibly detailed descriptions of their role in this new mandate, and that with this partnership, a slipstream of incredible favor, increase, and miraculous will be experienced by all. A billion soul harvest is coming. Again, same expressions, same things. God is preparing. Joshua Mills, another prophetic voice. It is a new season. It's a new beginning. It's a time to occupy your atmosphere. I hear the Spirit of God saying, this is your time to occupy the land that I've given you. This is the time to possess the promises that I've spoken about. Do not give any room to doubt or unbelief in this season. It is a new season. It is a new beginning. And I want you to do something new in and through you. It is the time to occupy your atmosphere. Allow the force of my glory to shift things and rearrange things in order to bring forth divine exchange. I believe what he's talking about there, an atmosphere, is the atmosphere that we create around us with the glory of the Lord and the river of life flowing through us and the seven spheres of government that we've all been given. You could include our seven governmental spheres here as a church. That's the atmosphere. We have to start occupying and beginning to rule and establish the kingdom in those atmospheres. Do not for a second think that I have forgotten about you or the things that I've spoken to you about, even those secret things that I've deposited in your heart. See, we may have forgotten. We may have been disappointed. We may have been disillusioned. We may have thought those things have been spoken in the past. They've never come about. And a whole generation could look at those prophecies in 1975 and 80 and all those beyond. And even back into 1930, when there was this prophecy of this revival without ebb. 1947, when Smith Wigglesworth prophesied. And you can look and think, oh, they're never going to come about. But actually, God is saying here, I have not forgotten them. I'm just looking for a people who are willing to embrace it and establish it and outwork it. Now is your time to move forward in my plan. Now is your time to take steps of faith into the waters of promise. Not only am I giving you the authority to occupy the territory that I've established for you in your personal life, but I'm expanding the realm of influence around you. Begin to see the ways that I desire to move and boldly go forth in the confidence of my Spirit. Here is a prophetic scripture for you. Isaiah 54, 2-3. Exactly the same scripture that Mike Bryant gave to us at the beginning of the year. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations. And you'll settle in the desolate cities. So there is a change coming. And we're going to occupy the things that God has promised us. So think of all those promises for your own life. Think of all the promises I've shared and many other promises that God has spoken to his church. What this is saying is, if we're willing to expand, we can occupy those promises. We can receive those promises and we can see those promises fulfilled in our generation and for the next generation to come. Are you ready to change your atmosphere? Are you ready to experience new successes on a daily basis? Well, are you? Because this is God speaking. Are you ready for what he wants to give you? Are you ready in purity? Are you ready in holiness? Are you ready in faith? Are you ready in having heavenly engagement so that you can outwork heaven onto the earth? Are you ready and are your gateways cleansed and flowing so that the river of life can flow through you, creating an atmosphere which would bring life wherever it goes? Because a trickle under the threshold isn't going to be enough. Nor is ankle deep, knee deep, or waist deep river. It needs to be a river, according to Ezekiel 47, that's out of its depth, and when it's flowing, and if it's out of its depth and flowing like that, guess who's in control of it? Not us. We have to flow with it, And when we flow with it, it says it will bring life wherever it goes. So if we're not a gateway of that, it is not going to flow into the earth. Are you ready? Another prophetic voice, Vana Lawser, I think is from down sort of other ends of the world, Australia way somewhere. I felt the Lord saying again that he is coming as the dread champion. Jeremiah 20:11. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. That he is releasing such abundant blessing, favor, increase, and harvest over the people of God as they continue to stand firm. That's the thing. Continue to stand firm. Even in the terror that has plagued them by night and the arrows that have been thrown by day, the enemy is going to be terrified by the breakthrough and the blessing that he has tried to stop being released over the lives of God's people. The Lord is raising up warriors who know they are powerful, not in their own strength or ability, but because of who is with them. As the dam breaks, so will you feel a new birthing of yourself take place. So will you feel yourself cross over through a threshold of grace to arise, awakened in new ways to your authority under the showers of breakthrough. Again, a call to engage beyond the veil and take up your heavenly positions as sons of God in lordship, kingship, engaging, governing the house of God, and essentially having charge of the courts of God. Showers of breakthrough as moving you from just making it through to a place with a view. Interesting poetry, but it's true. We've been scratching around like chickens on the earth, and God wants to take us up like eagles so that we can see into the realm of heaven, to see from a heavenly perspective, seated with Christ in heavenly places, so that we can take our place to see. And if you can't see from there, you can't see at all. That's the reality that God is saying. If you don't engage from a heavenly perspective, you only have your own, because God's come from that heavenly view. It is going to rain. It is going to rain. It's a new day. The dam is going to break. The enemy is going to shake. Warrior, you are moving forward and you will terrorize the enemy through what he is going to do in and through you, what he is going to release to you and through you. Again, same call. Are we ready? It is going the time to rise and build, but go deeper still. New depths of his heart await you, friend. In the depths you will find rest. Out of rest will come greater impact. The rest of many of you have been crying out for is to be found in a new depth in his heart, a deep place of intimacy. From that place, bigger and more juicy plump fruit is going to be seen as you partner with the great gardener in all he is planting and harvesting upon the earth. Again, God is using this imagery to call us to engage in not just our garden of our heart, but also into Eden, the garden of God, and to embrace the tree of life where fruit never stops and is always available for us. Larry Randolph, another prophetic voice, 2014-15 have been the greatest God encounters years of my life. In one visitation, the Lord stood at the foot of my bed and spoke to me about an extraordinary outpouring of the presence of God's heart coming to this generation. To help carry this message, I was reminded that I must return to my first love. My heart must become bigger than my gift and ministry. Above all, I must prepare for a weighty manifestation of God's holy presence and the enlargement of the fruit of the Spirit. The Lord showed me that this soon coming renewal of his love and character will far surpass the impact of the power and gifting demonstrated in previous moves of God. So God is saying a lot. Now, I've only picked out a few of the things because I would have been going on to a whole another session, but we need to take note of what he's saying, realize he's given us a fresh opportunity. Don't let disappointment of the past and unfulfilled expectations, hope deferred makes the heart sick, and a sick heart cannot flow with the streams of life. God wants our heart, and we need to guard our heart with all diligence to purify and see it refined so it can flow with God's glory. So, if we are to legislate God's kingdom on earth as in heaven, in righteousness, we must encounter his love. It's the love of God which is going to change us, which is going to transform us, which is going to impart to us his heart, his desire. Because if we're moved with our desires, we have a history of what our desires have brought. But when we're moved with his desires, it will change the whole area and how we do things. God is love, and his love is eternal. He's always been love, and he wants us to enter into a depth of that love which comes from an eternal perspective, not just emotional feelings, although there are emotions, but going beyond that. Everything in the kingdom of God, his rule, is about love. Everything he does is an act of love and is motivated by love and is because he loves us so much that he wants to bring good things into our lives. Let's engage with that love today. Every one of us have an opportunity to engage with the love of God. Heaven is open. God's going to pour out some of those things he's been saying in those prophetic words, showers, rivers, waterfalls of love. Are we willing to open our hearts and let his love touch us at levels we've never let him touch us before? Because of fear, control, are we willing to let go and let God totally touch us on the inside? Let God's love transform us. I'm just going to, again, just speak these declarations and then we go into a time of worship. And in the time of worship that we have today, just allow the love of God to overwhelm you, to overshadow you, to fill you, to change you, to transform you. I call for judgment, justice, grace, and mercy to be released. I call for a new beginning where the slates are wiped clean. I call for the legislation of sonship, inheritance, restitution, and recognition. I call for the love of God to be poured out. I call for love bombs from eternity to be released from the weapons house, exploding into our hearts. I call for the eternal love between Father, Son, and Spirit to be poured out into our hearts, a transformational love flowing out of heaven. I call for a new dimension of love beyond measure and understanding to be released into our lives. I call for greater grace, manifold grace, and grace upon grace to be released. I call for mercy that triumphs over judgment, flowing out of heaven into our spirits like a stream flowing into our hearts. I call for a love stronger than death, the song of all songs, to be released. I call for love that we can never be separated from, that will never fail, never run out, to be released. I call for God to manifest his full presence as love, like a rushing wind, like a tsunami, wave after wave of unquenchable love. I believe that's what God wants to do, but it's up to us whether we'll open our hearts to receive that, to desire it, embrace it, pursue it. It's there for us today. And I'd encourage you to engage in it. I'd encourage you to read some of those prophetic words again. See what resonates in your own heart. See this as a fresh opportunity, a new beginning, a new opportunity with a slate wiped clean to embrace your destiny, God's purpose and plan for your life, and fulfill all he's calling you to do, to bring glory to him. To see the earth filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. How? Through you, radiating his glory, bringing glory and honor to him. Amen.